You know, my friends, nothing that I say really is going to make sense to you about being dead to the law and being delivered from the law unless you haven't first been crushed by the law. Have you? Do you know that experience? This is what Paul is talking about when he says, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Let's explore that a bit more. Colin Cook here, and how it happens. Thanks for joining me today. You're listening to a broadcast on the Good News. And I was referring earlier to Romans 7, verse 9. It is, yes, there it is. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Now, what's that? Well, it means Paul felt just fine about himself. Everything was good and dandy, as he describes in Philippians chapter 3. As touching the law, blameless. He didn't have a close relationship with the law on an internal basis. He saw it only as something that he could perform externally, being faithful and not committing adultery, being not an idolater, so worshipping only the true God, making sure he didn't steal and making sure he didn't murder. Of course, didn't have to do much making sure of that, I'm sure. But you see, he was on the externals, so he was alive. He was just fine without the law. But when the commandment came, and as I explained to you yesterday, that commandment came when he, I guess, saw the life of Jesus and a life fully filled out with the true intent and import of the law, where Jesus was totally devoted to his Father and totally devoted in love to the human race. And when he saw that, I presume, when he saw that, the commandment came to him and he realized he was nothing like Jesus. And sin revived. His whole awareness of how far he was from the full intent of the law. When he realized that, he was crushed. Now, there are many Christians who have not been crushed by the law. I've mentioned to you many times that I was a legalist and a perfectionist for 20 years in my church. The law was taught in such a way that one was brought to believe that one could completely conform to the internal qualities of the law by the power of the Holy Spirit in such a way that finally when the judgment came, we would be justified, that is, declared innocent, by having conformed totally to the law through the aid of the Holy Spirit. Now, my friend, when you believe that kind of thing, the law will crush you. It will roll over you like a steamroller. It will take all the wind out of your sails. You will be in despair. And then you will be ready for Jesus, you see. Now, I presume that many people that I'm talking to on this radio broadcast, listening to me right now, have been crushed by the law, particularly, my friend, if you have struggled with an addiction. If you are a Christian with a struggle, let's say, for food, you're a food addict, you're struggling to lose 60 or 100 pounds in weight and have struggled for years and get so depressed and discouraged about it, you have been crushed by the law. If you are struggling with drugs and cannot let go of your favorite drug of choice, if you escape from the pain of your life by that drug, and you know it's slowing you down, damaging your health, ruining your finances and your relationships, you have been crushed by the law. You are being crushed by the law. If you have an addiction to sex, to pornography, to whatever form of sexual addiction you have been crushed by the law. You see, because your conscience will bear down on you, knowing that you are not what you are supposed to be, knowing that you fall far short of the standard you yourself have set yourself, for yourself, let alone what the law sets for you. Thus you are crushed. If you have an alcohol struggle, and you vow time and time again never to drink again, and yet you go back to it, and you find yourself totally out of control, you are being crushed by the law, for your conscience is bearing down on you. You see, understand that the law is not simply rules set on tablets of stone. It is how the mind, the law is written on your mind, and the law condemns you in your mind. You are therefore crushed. Now, it is people who are crushed by the law, who are in despair, who have so little confidence in themselves, who realize they fall so far short of the law, who are like the person who goes into the temple and dare not even look up and beats his chest and says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. It is people like that who know what I mean, or who will rejoice when they hear the message that you have died to the law through the body of Christ. That is, the law has finished its condemnation of you because of Christ's body, which was taken to the cross and executed on your behalf. You will rejoice when you know the news, or receive the news and believe it, that you have been delivered from the law. Delivered from it, from its condemnation, from its overbearing judgment, from its declaration that you are condemned, from its declaration that you are subject to punishment and death. You will rejoice in that. But you see, if you have never been crushed by the law, then this is who are people who have never been crushed by the law? Well, those humanistic Christians who think they're basically good as it is. They don't need much, just a little touch-up here and there. They go to church often, they give their money to the church, they are pretty good people, they live in good neighborhoods, they bring up good children, they go to the right schools, and they go to the right church, and they're relatively good living moral people. They've never thought of the need of a sacrifice for their sins. They look at Jesus as a wonderful example. Yes, he's a wonderful man to follow. And they are Christians because it so happens that they and Jesus look pretty much the same. They kind of follow Jesus because he's got their same mind, the same mindset as they have. So they think. And these are really toffee-nosed people who don't have an incredible amount of compassion for the world. They simply give to the right benevolent causes. They don't get much involved with sinners or truly needy people, just as long as they can give their money and have done with it, and then they get on with their business and their families and their entertainments. Now, what is the law to them? They've never been crushed by it. They look at it as a checklist. And they say, well, I've done that, yeah, I'm okay there, and I'm all right there, and everything's fine with them. They have never met the law. They can't make sense of Romans 7, verse 4, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. The commandment didn't come to them. The only thing that applies to them in this verse was that they were alive without the law. That is, they just felt fine, thank you very much. But you see, the law must come to them in a different way. 1 Timothy chapter 1. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and the sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Do you see? The law has to meet them so that they are crushed. And this is where you and I and anyone else who struggles with an addiction, my friend, can be thankful that the law has crushed us with its condemnation, so that we might find liberty from that condemnation in the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Again, I say to you, as I said yesterday, you don't pass off the law because you're a spiritual man and the law is carnal. That's what the people do whom I just described, the humanists who think they're basically good at heart. They don't need an elaborate set of rules. They're just fine, thank you very much. Goodness is natural to them. It flows out of their good heart. No, they're desperately mistaken. They think that they are above the law, spiritual people, while the law deals with trivial externals. That is not the essence, my friend, of the Christian faith. The Christian faith is that you and I are carnal, and the law is spiritual and crushing us, and therefore we have nothing but to run to Jesus and say, "Oh, Jesus, become for me what I am not. Deliver me from this condemnation and judgment." And the good news of the gospel is, my friend, that your humanity has been executed in the person of Jesus Christ by proxy in him, so that the law no longer can condemn you. You are delivered from it, and you are therefore counted as dead to it through the body of Christ. This is good news. This is what makes sense to us. The good news comes only to those who are in, well, it makes sense, shall I say, only to those who are in conflict with the law. So don't think I'm dealing lightly with the law here. Don't think I'm talking in trivial ways. I'm talking about the man who has known the blackness of his human nature, the man who has companionship with the ghosts of his dark side, who wants to be delivered. That person, my dear friend, can look up and lift up his head, for Jesus is his light, for Jesus has become his righteousness and his new humanity. Someone called me yesterday, my friend, and asked me if I'm the only one who opens the mail because she wants to send a little donation, and actually she wanted to send a little more this time because she sends it by cash only and wants to make sure that I alone open the mail. I appreciated her thoughtfulness, you know. And I want to ask you, do you give thought to how this radio broadcast comes to you? Some people, you know, actually think that I get paid by KLT, as if I were their employee. No, what happens, my friend, is that I pay KLT for the radio air time. In other words, I pay rent for the amount of time that I spend on their radio station. It amounts to $800 a month, actually, approximately that, for just this 15 minutes a day. And so I ask you, would you like to consider helping me to do that? It is a trial many, many times. And it's not just the radio broadcast, my friend. It's the full ministry of Faith Quest Perspectives. I send out to you CDs per month. I provide a website for you. I provide seminars for you and counseling for you and a Monday night meeting if you'd like to join me in the Englewood area for a Bible study. So there's a lot involved in the ministry to give you what you need for your training in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of grace. So help me if you would. Send your donation to FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160, P.O. Box 366. Thank you so much, my friend. I'll see you next time. Cheerio and God bless.